Our lesson this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 22, desiring God's fixed moral order for avoiding terrible relationships. After seeking in Proverbs chapter 1, 20 to 33, to motivate young princes and princesses by way of application to align with God's fixed moral order through personifying that order, in the Hebrew word it's known as chokmah, to be a desirable spouse, Solomon moved to the opposite direction, motivating the young prince or princess, as the case may be, to avoid terrible relationships. Part of wisdom is knowing what kind of relationships to have. The other part of wisdom is knowing what kind of relationships not to have. Well, Proverbs 2, 1 to 22, offers a third in a series of 16-part sections of his Egyptian spoyet format, aimed at motivating the young prince to heed God's fixed moral order. And this section shows the value of aligning to God's fixed moral order to avoid getting into terrible relationships. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and get into His Word. Father, we thank You for the privilege that You've given us to gather here this morning in the fellowship around the Word of God under the direction and leadership of the Spirit of God. And we ask, Father, that we would take advantage of the opportunities and the resources that You've granted us to understand, first of all, what the Word says. Secondly, to accept it. And third, to have the wisdom to apply it and knowing how to do that in our lives in a very practical way, that we might indeed be blessed and get in on the blessing that You have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 22. Since we have 22 verses, I'm going to cover the verses as we go through the lesson rather than read the verses all at once. Proverbs chapter 2, 1 to 22 presents the Proverbs 2, 1 to 4 conditions that produce the Proverbs 2, 5 to 22 blessings. In grammar, we know one part of a sentence, a conditional sentence, is the prothesis, and the other part is the apothesis. The prothesis is the if section. If, then the then section is the apothesis. Well, the prothesis here is Proverbs chapter 2, 1 to 4, and the apothesis is Proverbs 2, 5 to 22. So the Proverbs 2, 5 to 22 blessings, that's in the apothesis, arise out of the prothesis, namely obeying Proverbs 2, 1 to 4, as follows. And let me read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 of chapter 2. My son, and we can apply this by application, my daughter, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart unto understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then, and then verse 5 starts the apothesis and goes on to verse 22. So if one accepts and treasures Solomon's words, if he turns his ear to them, if he inclines his heart to understand, calling out for its insight and crying aloud for its understanding, looking for it as silver and searching for it as treasure, he will enjoy the Proverbs 2, 5 to 22 blessings. Let me just start there. It's very imperative that we clarify, especially as we're dealing with teens who are growing and maturing, that nobody wants to be hurt in relationships. Well, the best way to do that is to have God's help with you. And to have God's help, you have got to be eagerly going after the insight that God provides you in His Word. You can't just say, read the book of Proverbs and say, okay, it helps me. No. You have to be consciously focusing on what it says, because there are guidelines that are provided in God's wisdom that act as a defense mechanism, that provide defense for us against getting into terrible relationships, so that when we are out there in the world and we're interacting with people, one of these qualities will show up that is negative, and it should flash a blinking red light in the mind of the believer, because he knows God's Word says, watch out for that specific type of characteristic. So we have to motivate those that we seek to disciple in this area who want to be better at relationships. You have to go after the Word of God. You've got to make it a part of your focus and pay attention to what it says. So, one must be motivated to heed Solomon's words to enjoy the Proverbs 2, 5 to 22 blessings. Now, the way those blessings are realized in one's experience is detailed for us in verses 5 to 22. First of all, if one pursues God's fixed moral order, he will gain a reverence for God and find his knowledge
And God will reciprocate by providing the party his personal help in that person's experience. Notice verses 5 through 8. Then shalt thou understand the reverence for the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler, and that's a small handheld shield to them that walk uprightly. He preserves the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. So Solomon noted that to pursue the knowledge and application of God's fixed moral order leads one to know and thus to respect God. For it is God, the Yahweh is in the emphatic position in verse 5, who is the fount of wisdom by means of his word or his mouth. And it is he who treasures up wisdom that leads to success. There's no getting around the fact that when a person focuses on the word of God and makes that an intent part of his life, God sees that and he says, I like that. We're going to work with this person. And so God will move in that person's life, gauge him in his thinking, help him in circumstances, and bring signals along actually to be a help. On the other hand, if we're not going to focus on what God's word actually says, God says, hey, you're on your own. You know, you do it your way. But if you pay attention to what I tell you to do, and you're focusing on my word, I'm going to help guide your thinking. I'm going to help guide your mind. So you're going to be sensitive to what's going on. God also takes a personal protective interest in the one who applies his word, acting as a personal handheld shield. That's the word magan in Hebrew. There are two types of shields that they used in ancient warfare. There was a large shield that a man would hide behind, or he'd hold it up for a friend of his, a fellow combatant. So the fellow combatant could shoot his arrows from behind the shield or a slingshot or whatever he wanted. The megan is what you do in personal hand-to-hand combat. It was a small shield that was carried around the wrist, probably about 18 inches in diameter, and it was made basically of wood covered with leather. And that's what you'd use to shield off yourself from a blow that came. Otherwise, it would be lethal. You'd knock it off, and then you'd go after and fight. So this is the handheld shield. The magan was the one that saved your life the most. So God will work as a personal handheld magan, a shield to protect you in your personal life. Now, this is very, you know, everybody wants God working for you, God working with you. For that to happen, you have got to focus on making the Word of God an integral part of your thinking. If you do that, God says, I'm going to work with you. Now, pursuing God's fixed moral order like this equips one to discern every good path in verse 9 of chapter 2. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity in every good path. That's actually invaluable. And one good path is the capacity to discern good from bad people for relationships, and that's verses 10 to 22. Verse 10, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man who speaks froward things or distorted things, who leave the paths of unrighteousness or uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are forward in their paths, to deliver you from the strange, this would be the adulterous woman, even from the stranger or the alien who flatters with her words, who forsakes the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house inclines to death and her paths unto the dead. None that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Okay, what's going on here? God's wisdom, knowledge, discretion, and understanding to one thus committed to his fixed moral order will be a part of his thinking that affects his whole way of life. This experience will rescue him from relating to evil parties of his own gender. Verses 12 to 15 talk about evil men, and of course this is to princes who speak perverse words, who leave straight paths to walk in darkness, who delight in doing wrong, crooked and devious ways will not be able to win the trust of the youth who sticks to God's order. Now we can apply this also to young women as well. The word of God will protect them from getting into wrong relationships with women. because there are bad women of the same gender that can be a bother to them as well. But Proverbs 2, 16 to 19 is very interesting, and I'm focusing on this in the lesson primarily because it's so contrasting with what happens in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verses 20 to 33, Solomon likened wisdom to an attractive person of the opposite gender, a person that you would want as a spouse. But in chapter 2, here in these verses, verses 16 to 19, he's talking about one of the opposite gender that you do not want to associate, one who is immoral, someone who will not be faithful to you and consistent, someone who will crush your feelings. And so there are bad peoples of the opposite gender to watch out for. Now, the reason this is so important is men and women often do not think the same way. And because of that, men often are not fully aware of the machinations of women. If there's a woman who wants to kind of entrap a man or seduce him, often he's at a disadvantage because he doesn't think the way she does. Vice versa, often a woman is not aware of the way a man thinks, and he may set up something and she may not be aware of it. And so each, the godly man, young man, and the godly young woman, they both need something to protect their minds and their hearts and their thinking against the machinations of people who are evil of the opposite gender. This is where verses 16 to 19 come in. Proverbs 2, 16 to 19, especially in the New International Version, I'm going to get it out here. That's right out of our Pew Bible here. This passage shows God's wisdom and guidance keep him from fellowship with bad parties of the opposite gender who otherwise more easily entrap him. I remember when I was going to high school, I happened to be very popular in high school as student body president, vice president, boy state representative. I starred in football and track. My mother was terrified of the fact that there might be a bunch of girls out there that are bad that were trying to lay their nets out for me. So she constantly warned me about bad girls. And so I thank God for the fact that she did that. But really, what protects a person of the opposite gender, especially when they're young and they're vulnerable like that, is paying attention to God's word. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go into her return or attain the paths of life. Now, there are several characteristics here to watch out for. A seductive person, especially a woman, has a tendency to seduce with words. Unusual flattery or unusual compliments, that should be a warning sign. Someone may be out to seduce you. One who has left the partner of her youth. This is a tremendous signal. When there's a tendency not to obey her father and mother, or a tendency not to obey teachers or principals, that's a person who has a weak ethic and a morality, and they could probably, you know, if they're going to be disobedient to authority that is over them, that shows that there's a weakness there. They may go ahead and tend towards being disobedient to the moral standards and so forth. That's something to watch out for. She's ignored the covenant made before her God. That shows that there's a hypocrisy. They may talk about believing in Christ and everything, but there's a falsehood. There's not really a real following after Christ. And then notice, her house leads down to death, her paths to the spirits of the dead. None go into her, return or attain the paths of life. That's for a bunch of reasons. Sometimes there are diseases that are spread through immoral people. Sometimes an immoral person, when a person is seduced by them, the husband or the wife finds out, and then bing, you know, then you get into lots of problems. So anyway, the youth will not be trapped to sin, even by a bad party, other gender parties, seductive words. For he will note that the party violates Scripture. He will recall that Scripture warns the ways of such parties are perilous for him, so he will avoid these parties regardless of their natural allure. I've gone ahead, just for my own practice, I've gone through the book of Proverbs and looked at all the characteristics of seductive and immoral people and made a list of them, and it's extremely helpful and revealing. You can go through, you can check out the list. If there is a person that has one or more of those qualities, that's the kind of person you're not looking to date. You have to look for someone else's opposite that. Well, then the youth will gain upright relationships of blessing. He or she, as the case may be, will walk in the paths of wholesome. The word wholesome is the word tobim. That's the word that is used in Genesis 1, where God saw all the creation that he had made, and it was very tov, or tobim is the plural. It was very wholesome. And remember, he had created man and woman at this particular point, and everything was very wholesome. There was nothing wrong in having marriage there. God had created it. God had sanctioned it from the very beginning. But it has to be wholesome people. So this results from being upright, from adopting God's fixed moral order in one's thinking, and so coming under his personal help so as to live a long life. However, the wicked violate the divine order and are ensnared by evil people. They will be cut off in judgment, and those who are unfaithful to the bounds set by God will be torn from the land. So the lesson is the youth must learn that his adoption of God's fixed moral order will bring God's protective insight that aids him in avoiding bad and gaining good relationships, thus spurring him to adopt God's order. So may we realize the big benefit heeding God's fixed moral order offers in eluding terrible relationships. I do have an illustration to use. I went to high school with a fellow who was gifted and so forth. And there were a lot of girls, apparently, in the high school, we found this out, who put out their fishing nets for him, you know, trying to snare him and so forth. And he never went for it. And in his senior year, one of the girls in his graduating class talked to him about that and said, you know, there are a lot of girls that tried to ensnare you and everything when you first came to school. I think he transferred in his sophomore year to the school. But this girl said, I thought you were always smart. Well, the fellow shares that he didn't feel that he was smart, but he was using Scripture. When he saw characteristics of people that were around him, whether it was guys or gals that weren't quite right, he pulled back until he could see that it was a safe avenue to go. And it kept him out of a whole lot of trouble. All he was doing is paying attention to what the Bible said. So this can really help and really encourage an individual. I know that the prevailing wisdom of the day is just date the field and then kind of pick and choose out of that. I recommend heartily against that, because once you start dating an individual, you leave yourself to a degree vulnerable to them, because you're vulnerable to them because of the opposite gender. Anyway, there's an automatic attraction there for the first place. The second, you're dealing with a party that they may or may not be trying to land you or to manipulate you, and you might not know because you're young and so forth. So what I would do is go what the Scripture has said, indicated, get your mind filled with the Word of God, looking for the qualities that you should go after, looking for the qualities in a person that you should avoid, and then be very, very selective about who you even date. I've always recommended this. Don't even start to date a person unless they automatically qualify biblically to be a partner in life. Now, someone says, wait a minute, I'm not thinking on the first date of marrying him. No, I wouldn't recommend that at all. But once you start dating an individual, you leave yourself to a degree vulnerable. So the best thing to do is to make your set your standards high and start there. And then when you date an individual and everything seems to be go because of the qualities, they're biblically so forth, you can afford to relax and you can kind of get to know the person. You might find out that the personality is something that, you really wouldn't. I mean, they're nice, but that's not the type of person that you really want to spend your life with because the personality doesn't jive, but everything else is fine. I remember there were some girls in our youth group when I was in high school, in our church, and I dated a couple of them, nice girls, and they've turned out to be wonderful wives and so forth. But there wasn't a real compatibility there. I remember one gal I took, she was really nice, really sweet. We went roller skating, I think, that one night. But she, there wasn't anything that clicked, and so we just dated once, and that was it. There was another girl we dated a couple of times and everything, but there, you know, after a while I realized, no, this isn't what we're interested in. But both of these were people who could qualify as partners in life. So I think it's very, very wise to do that. I also recommend, especially for people who are teens, to do a lot, get involved in activities with other Christian group kids as a group, where guys and gals are together if possible, maybe four or five, you know, as a group, and go miniature golfing or whatever you do, you know, or go climb Talcott Mountain, or, you know, just with a group of others, because you can develop and you can find out relationships. But these need to be good kids as well. But it's very important. Half of success in relationships is knowing who not to relate to, because there's a lot of trouble out there and troublesome people. The other side of relationships is what we covered last week, the type of people that you want to relate with. But there are bad people out there you've got to avoid, and we need to let people know this. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this subject, or it could be on something else, and we'll do our best to interact.